Lakers, longtime NBAer. He's now Fox Sports analyst down in Orlando. You can catch his podcast as well, the Knuckleheads podcast. Here's Quentin Richardson. Quentin, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We're just talking about the bubble and how that bubble could be penetrated, and the concerns that once everyone gets down there, whether it's players, coaches, personnel, whatever, you know, the idea of staying in one spot at the hotel and going back and forth between the court and your hotel room, that's tough, man. It's tough to imagine it working out. Where's your optimistic levels at before we even get into the bubble and start tipping off games?
I have a high level of optimism that it can happen if, you know, if the guys buy in and everybody's going to follow the proper protocols. Now, I think that's where a lot of questions can begin to start, you know, whether guys are going to legitimately try and follow all of these protocols up to standard and things like that. But I think in a lot of ways, once the NBA and Adam Silver them gets this thing in place, that it's probably going to be one of the safest places as far as, you know, that you can be in if you're going to follow those protocols. But that's going to be a whole nother thing together. I heard you guys talking about if a team gets down 3-0 and somebody's been talking to somebody, what may or may not happen. I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of those type of stories going on.
Well, you know, up here in Canada, Quentin, you know, we got hockey culture, which has that sort of, you know, we'll police the locker room, like we're internally policing the locker room. I mean, what's your experience in the NBA of that working? Like, can there be team leaders that can really get guys to buy in to saying, hey, I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's not easy, but we got to do this because we're going for the Larry O'Brien here.
I believe so. I have favorites or picks, but I think once this thing gets going and it plays out, I think that's absolutely what you'll see happen. Whatever team, you know, thrives the most and teams that make it to, you know, the furthest and the ultimate champion, I think you'll have to have those things from them. They'll have to have a leader who was able to keep the guys in check in a group of players that were able to police each other and make sure that they were doing all of the right things and following all of the protocols to stay safe and doing the things to be prepared as far as basketball-wise and health-wise. And I think that's ultimately going to be your champion, the team that's able to do those things.
How does that apply to players opting out of even showing up? In other words, you know, do you think they could catch some heat from their teammates if they decide not to actually join them and show up and play at Disney?
I think so. I think everything will be on a case-by-case basis. I mean, I think that's the one thing about us as players. Regardless of what's put out there in the public, we, you know, most of the time, my experience has been that I know what's going on with most of my teammates, and we all know what's going on with each other. So I think if guys have legitimate reasons and legitimate situations going on in their personal lives that keep them from the bubble, I think, you know, teammates won't have issues with that. But I think if there's guys out there that just opt not to do it and don't really have those type of reasons, if I was a player, I would have an issue with that person.
So, Quentin, you're in Orlando as we speak. I mean, we keep seeing the headlines about how the cases in Florida continue to spike. You know, you just had a record of 10,000 new coronavirus cases down there. What's the mood in your circles about the virus?
For us, man, we haven't changed it up since everything first started. We've pretty much been going about our existence the same way consistently throughout. Even when things kind of opened back up here, we weren't really participating in all that. We still kept to the essentials. If we need to go to, you know, store to get groceries or whatever we need from the stores, we're gonna have our gloves and our masks on again. Generally, we stay at home.
And who's we, Quentin? Who are you down there with?
My family, my wife, my kids, my family. I got a couple of my, you know, friends and peers. I'm actually neighbors with Drew Gooden.
Oh yeah.
We all just kind of stay away from everything and kind of stick to our own situations and just try and stay safe as possible.
You can find him on Twitter at QRich. Quentin Richardson joining us, longtime NBAer. You can find his podcast, the Knuckleheads Podcast, wherever you download podcast. So if we get there, and I think we all hope that they do in the next few weeks and we start playing games and get through this regular season and get into the playoffs, there's a lot of optimism up here with this Raptors team. You know, they're still the champs until someone takes it from them. And we know Kawhi's not here and Danny Green's not here. But they were on pace for 60 wins. And at one point, it feels like forever ago, they had won 15 games in a row. Where do they rank in the East for you? I mean, if you're doing a top three or four pecking order, or I would assume they're in that top three or four. How do you feel about the Raptors and their chances?
I mean, I feel like in going down into this scenario, I mean, even prior to this scenario, they had to be a confident group and feeling like they have a chance to leave their imprint and do some real damage and go the distance this year. I mean, obviously, I got, you know, Giannis and the Bucks in the East as top dogs, but I think after that, it's wide open. And I don't feel like that the Bucks have put themselves in a position where you can't foresee them losing at all. I mean, I think they are the top team, but I think they can be had in the right circumstances. And like I say, going down to this bubble, man, you have to believe anything can happen now. You know, you don't have crowds, you don't have home court advantage. Guys have been off for 3.5-4 months, so different guys are going to take time to get in sync. It's going to be a lot of different variables to decide what's going to go on, like which team starts playing well, which team gets in sync, which team is healthiest, which team is in the best shape. All of those different things are going to go into it. So I think, you know, Toronto, they have as good a chance as anybody going down there.
When you look at the league at large, obviously the two L.A. teams, Quentin, are teams everybody's going to pay close attention to. What do you make of the matchup, if indeed we do get it in the Western Final, between LeBron's Lakers and Kawhi's Clippers?
I love it, man. The only thing that's disappointing is that it's going to have to be here in Orlando and not in the Staples Center, where, you know, every night is going to be crowds and, you know, the Battle of L.A., that whole aspect. I think that's the biggest regret if that happens. That'll be the only regret for me. But it's definitely going to be a great series, man. I mean, I think that's a series that everybody wants to see and we hope to see. And again, I think it's going to come down to the whole health aspect. I mean, you've seen they've already taken a semi blow with Avery Bradley opting out of the restart, and he was a starter, man. And I think although they have people that, you know, they can replace him with, and they replace him and sign J.R. Smith, and you know they have other defensive players, but I think he just brought an element that nobody else brings. His pit bullish ways, guarding on the ball. I mean, you know, KCP's a great ball defender. Rondo's a great defender. Danny Green's a great defender. But none of them bring that element that Avery Bradley brought. And I think that's going to hurt them at some point. But, man, I think, you know, them having LeBron and AD, I'm not surprised if they win. But I know that, you know, the Clippers, I'm a homer. I'm a Clipper for life. So I know they have them having Kawhi and Paul George. That's nothing to snooze on at all either. So I think it'll be the best. You know, if they meet, it's the best against the best, and we'll see how it goes.
Yep, let's see how it goes, man. Let's hope we get there. Fingers crossed. Stay safe. Always great catching up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Quentin.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
There's Quentin Richardson, longtime NBA or former Clipper, as you said, analyst down there with the Magic and co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, him and Darius Miles, another former Clipper.
Oh, yeah.
Doing that podcast. So, yeah, I mean, I think what he said about the East is I think what he said about both sides is appropriate. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks should be considered the favorites. They will be. But it's not like you can't beat them. It's not like you can't picture them dropping a series.
Well, I mean, don't you just picture it? I mean, you can see the way to beat them because Nick Nurse drew it up last year, mm-hmm. right? You build the wall. Now, I know Kawhi Leonard got a lot of credit, Hayes, for being the head of that snake, so to speak, and being the lead defender on Giannis after the Raptors went down 0-2 and then won 4 straight against the Bucks to go to their first NBA final. I know Kawhi gets a lot of that credit for being that defensive stopper, but to me, when I looked at that scheme, that wasn't a one-man scheme. That was a team scheme. That was about building an absolute wall of humanity that exposed the weakness that Giannis has yet to prove he's made up for. And, of course, that is his lack of a jump shot and his lack of faith in his own jump shot. And I think the Raptors could execute that plan to a T without Kawhi right now. And I think they could do it very well. And, in fact, I'd have a hard time betting against the Raptors in that particular series against that Bucks team for that very reason.
Yeah, no, I'd feel good about it, too. I mean, I really would. I feel good about the Raptors and where they're at. I think the fact that they did what they did a year ago, they've got Nick Nurse, they're going to be healthy. I think they're more than just a formidable foe for Milwaukee. You know, I think it'll be close to a coin flip. Milwaukee, in my opinion, still deserves the upper hand because even what you said about Giannis, he is still capable. He's the most talented guy on the floor, right? Like, yeah. You couldn't say that a year ago. Kawhi, I guess maybe Giannis had more talent, but Kawhi was the better player. We knew that. But the Raptors do not have a guy who is a better player or has more talent than Giannis, but they may have a scheme.
But there might not be a great player in this league, Hayes, who's got such a glaring weakness in his game, right?
And yeah, that's, you force him to shoot.
That's what I mean. Now, Giannis is, look, I've got a lot of time for Giannis. Admire the guy's work ethic. He's improved his jump shot a lot. Don't get me wrong. This is a guy who's very dedicated to becoming the best player he can become, and it's shown. I mean, he's an MVP quality player. But, you know, like, until you can make those shots when you know the scheme is calling you for you to make those shots, there's a big hole in your game. And, you know, until you do it at the big moments when everything's on the line, there's something to prove still. And for Giannis, there's something to prove.
Yep, there most certainly is. And he'll be there, right? Like, he's going to be there. All the Raptors are going to be there. There's guys opting out. What Quentin said about Avery Bradley is very legitimate as well.
Great point.
They're going to miss him big time with the Lakers. That'll hurt. But he made his decision. He's not going. And we're going to track who else is not going to show up, because there's probably going to be more guys between now and the beginning of the season or the resumption of play. There'll be more NBA guys that won't show up, and I'll bet you there'll be some NHL players. We haven't heard any yet, but I would be shocked if they have 100% attendance when they return to play. I don't know if it'll necessarily be based on safety precautions, you know, like underlying conditions. I think it might just be based on the circumstance. You get an older guy who's on a team that just got in. He's sitting there. He's like, I'm a free agent at the end of this year. I'm done. Like, I've been spending the last 3 months just hanging out, playing golf. I'm not gearing back up.
You wonder who's in that boat, right? Who's in the boat of, I am not prepared to get back to work.
Yeah. I've decided I'm not doing it anymore.
Especially, like, when you look at it, if you're a veteran guy and you've made enough money, and there's not too many guys that are in that privileged position, but there are some. I mean, you start looking at it going, next year we're going to have to give back 30% of our ticket to the owners, like 20% escrow plus a 10% salary deferment. Like, you may just throw up your hands and say, whatever I'm going to make, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I look at a guy, and I haven't heard anything from him or his camp. I would assume he's going to show up, because I think some of these guys will also look at it and say, this is going to be my last kick at the can, because I'm not coming back next year to hand over 30% of the money or whatever. But I look at a guy like Justin Williams with Carolina, who was retired to start the year, jumped on a moving train. Now they've shut down again. If he's a realist, he's probably looking at his team thinking, I don't think we're gonna win a cup. You know, do I want to go into a hub city when I think I'm retiring? I was just coming back for the rest of this run. That's an example, and I'm not saying he will be the guy that will do that, but a guy who's at the end of his road, won cups, got money, probably knows he's retiring anyway. Do I gear back up?
Exactly.
Do I gear back up, or do I just say, it wasn't meant to be, it is what it is, I've had a great run, see you later?
Well, do you gear back up for what could be 3 games, right? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You could play 3 playoff games and be done. Mm-hmm. And the thing
but
is, like,
the fear of it being actually, you know, 19 wins in front of you, that's what I think will trigger guys to say, I better go. Like, I wouldn't want to look back on it and say, how did I miss out on that ride?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you say, I've heard people say, well, that team doesn't really have a chance. But to me, like, when the first round is 3 of 5, everybody's got a chance. Because we've watched hockey too long, Hayes, to kid ourselves into believing that any upset's impossible.
With no fans and maybe limited in intensity.
And rusty goaltenders.
And rusty goaltending. Oh, for sure. It's a complete crapshoot. The first couple rounds, I think, will be.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think nobody can be considered the overwhelming favorite. Nobody can be considered an absolute out of nowhere underdog to me. Like, there's no such thing as an underdog in this play-in round, in my view.
No, and I think that kind of applies to baseball outside of the extreme examples. Like, Detroit's not going to figure it out for 60 games. Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, but the Jays could.
Yeah, for sure.
Cincinnati could. San Diego could. The White Sox could. Yeah, like, these teams haven't sniffed success in years and have not been very good. And if it was 162 games starting at the end of March, chances are it wasn't going to happen.
Exactly.
But could the Jays win 32 games?
Sure.
Yeah, they could go 32-28.
Why couldn't they? I mean,
sure.
And then you look at the reigning World Series champions were, what were they, 19-31 in the first 50 last year.
Yeah, they're on the opposite side of things.
So, I mean, you can have a really elite team that just, stumbles for whatever reason for a few weeks, and suddenly they're in the hole.